Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
You know, let's just start off with the easy one. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Thrilled that Kelvin Beachum was able to call in and join us to talk Arizona Cardinals, the starting right tackle of your 2-0 first place football team. And Kelvin, let's start there. I don't care if this is simple cheese ball and the easiest question you've ever been asked. How's it feel to be 2-0 and in first place morning?
You know, it's a great feeling. But at the same time, we realize there's still so much work to do. But, you know, we're enjoying it. Enjoyed it last night. You know, we'll enjoy it today for our off day, and then we got to get back to work. We know we got the Lions coming into town next week.
So, Kelvin, when, in fact, you got the opportunity to be an Arizona Cardinal, were you jacked up to come here and tell us why?
We're really jacked up. You know, you got people like Kyler Murray and D-Hop on the outside and Drake and Larry. Probably one of the best skill positions that I've been a part of since I was in Pittsburgh years ago. So knew that it was going to be a high-flying offense. Know that we have some dynamic players on defense. And, you know, just got a great coaching staff, great culture here. So excited. You know, a lot of things kind of just worked in my favor. Got moved some things around. So really just excited to be a part of this organization. Excited to be a part of this momentum that we got going on to start the season. And, you know, trying to find a way to keep it going.
I can't imagine how different it is to have, although he can move a little, the stoic statue of Ben Roethlisberger behind you versus having Kyler Murray behind you. Do you have any idea where Kyler is while you're trying to block your guy?
I have no idea, and that's probably the best. So my job is to keep him clean, keep my guy off of him. But, man, when he gets out in space, it's amazing to watch. You know, yesterday, you know, watching him, you know, make some moves in the backfield and looking at defensive linemen as they were reaching for his legs and kind of skipping, you know, as he's getting ready to juke a safety on the edge. I mean, it's special to be a part of. But when I need to block, I'm blocking. And then when he's downfield and making guys miss, I turn into a spectator.
So when you were watching Washington in week one, did they do anything differently to surprise you guys in that first half in particular?
We knew that they were going to be, you know, they're a cross-dog type of team. You know, we knew from the historical tree that they come from, Ron Rivera, Del Rio, they love to get after, love to pressure. We knew coming into the week that most times a lot of their pressure comes on first down. And the first play of each drive. So not so much first downs, but the first play of each drive. So kind of expected those things early on. And they did some things differently, kind of set the front differently. You know, when we got, kind of two tight end packages, heavy tackle package with Justin Murray. But outside of that, you know, we kind of knew what we were going to expect. And thing is, we left points out on the board, you know, in the first half. So, like I said, there's still so much room for improvement. Happy we got the win. Happy we put up some points. But, you know, we should have put up more points and had, you know, opportunities to do so.
We're talking to Kelvin Beachum, starting right tackle, Arizona Cardinals. With some of the teams that you've been on that were successful, some of the teams that you've been on that struggled, when you look at what it's like to be in the huddle with the Cardinals, when you look at the sideline, the camaraderie, and, of course, namely the winning, do you see something special, or are you the type that never allows yourself to see something special when it's this early in the season?
For me, I don't really allow myself to see anything special. It's early. We still got a lot of football left. We've only played one division opponent to date. The division is still wide open. We're just taking it a day at a time. So for me, I can be a pessimist to some extent because I realize that this is a long season. It takes time for things to happen. You know, you saw all the injuries that happened in the National Football League yesterday. You know, we've been, you know, grateful that we haven't been, you know, hit by that too much. But, you know, we got to continue to press on. We still have, like I said, we have so much room for improvement. And the thing is offensively, I can speak for us offensively, we've continued to to step our own toe. We've continued to put ourselves behind the chains in both games, and we got to find a way to get ourselves out of that. You know, second and 20, you know, third and 20. We can't have those types of drives and stall out so early. So there's still so much room for improvement. Again, happy that we're 2-0, but we still have so much room to grow.
We're talking to Calvin Beecham, the starting right tackle for the Arizona Cardinals here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Does Kyler running the ball help you do your job better, and if so, why?
Well, I think that you have to account for Kyler, you know, in the zone game. No matter the back that you have in the backfield, and Cliff and the staff do a phenomenal job of presenting some challenges with putting guys in motion, whether it's Christian or Larry or D-Hop, those types of things you have to account for as a defense. And then you also have to account for the quarterback being able to pull it and run the ball as well. So it's a combination of a number of different factors that a defense has to account for. So as offensive linemen, we say this every week, we just got to do our job. If we do our job, stay in front of our opponent, we have opportunity to double team, knock the double team into the linebacker, keep Kyler clean, we'll be just fine. But again, we got to make sure we cut down on the penalties. Had a couple, holding penalties, had a infraction of the snap. So it's like little things, like little details that we still got to be on, that we still hadn't cleaned up yet, that we got to get cleaned up.
Kelvin, I am always, and if you just tuned in, it's Kelvin Beecham, right tackle for the Cardinals. Kelvin, I've always been fascinated by the NFL draft. So let me ask you something personal. A seventh-round pick lasting this long means a lot of people in the league got it wrong with you. Did they get it wrong because it's hard to measure heart, hard to measure football IQ? Did you just mature from SMU and you can understand why they missed? Why are you still in the league, and why did they get you wrong back in 2012?
I think that's a combination of a number of things. I think that's a combination of not every player is, every tackle is 6'7", 330. I don't think that people realize how important it is to just love the game of football. And when you love the game of football, you can play a long time. And loving the game of football isn't what's on Sundays. Loving the game of football is what's on Sunday night after the game, what's on Monday, what's on Tuesday. When you got practices on Wednesday and Thursday, are you still embracing the process? And I think when you fall in love with the process, I wouldn't say it becomes easier, but you put yourself above others. Because, I've seen many other people who came in my same draft class who fell by the wayside. And I think it all just boils down to loving the process, staying healthy. But part of staying healthy is taking care of your body. So it's a combination of a number of things. I don't look at who got it wrong. I look at who got it right. Pittsburgh got it right. Jacksonville gave me a shot. They got it right. New York gave me a shot. Now I'm back with Cougs, who gave me a shot, 9 years ago. So the people who got it right have gotten good production out of me, I'll say.
How did Lamont Gilliard do?
He did well. He did well. Actually, looked at the film a couple of times. Again, it's a couple of things we can continue to clean up. But he did well. His first start. So really happy for him. Happy that he got a chance to show his worth, but I think that also shows you what this organization has done from a depth standpoint of making sure that you have guys, if a starter goes down, you don't miss a beat with somebody else that plugs right in. So we know that Mason is out for some time. Lamont got in and did his thing, and, we didn't slow down one bit. So I'm excited for him, and also excited for this offensive line, because you can tell the organization has put some emphasis here. And we're building depth within the offensive line, which, in the National Football League, considering, again, all the injuries that have happened, over the last, couple months, and then what happened just yesterday, we know how important depth is in the National Football League.
So communication was good on the offensive line?
Without question.
Yes,
good. Without question. But the thing is we've been, since I've gotten here, even when we were doing Zoom calls, Coach Kuz and Coach Natty have been doing a phenomenal job just making sure and pressing upon these young centers. They're young, first and second year guys, first and second year starters at that, just pressing upon communication. So did a phenomenal job communicating. I can't say enough about just how well both guys have done. But Lamont had the shot yesterday, communicated well. I think we had just one missed ID. So, you know, again, things that we could clean up, but it was a good outing for his first start.
Cardinals right tackle Kelvin Beachum joining Doug and Wolf. I have no idea why that was so difficult to say all that at the same time. Kelvin, Detroit, Carolina, New York. Cheeseball people in the media like me say you're better on paper than all three of those teams. How does the leadership in the locker room make sure that you guys don't listen to people like me in the media?
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier. I'm just being flatly honest with you. We didn't play well enough yesterday. We have so much room to grow, and we're going to attack it in practice. We attack it in practice. We find ways to push each other in practice. We find ways to compete even harder in practice. You know, we've had very spirited competition periods against the defense, ones-on-ones on Wednesday and Thursday and Fridays. And we've got to continue to have those spirited practices. We continue to push each other to get better. It's hard to win in the National Football League. And when you're beating yourself or putting yourself behind the chains with penalties and bonehead plays, you can't keep that type of success week in and week out. So we're not looking three games out. We're looking at right now. Right now, we got to clean up some things from this past game. And then we know we got a very talented team coming in that's hungry for a win in the Detroit Lions.
Okay, Calvin, do you really like up-tempo? Do you really? Come on, big man.
When I got a defense that's telling me they tired and we need to slow down and they up for crying about, hey, you know, we got a sub, give us some time to sub. Or, you know, I'm on field goal and I got a guy that I don't even know who he is. He's like, man, why y'all going so fast? And I'm like, hey, if I'm tired, you're going to be tired too. But they tired, man. And, it, you know, when you start wearing on guys, you know, it becomes very, very easy when we line up in 4 minutes at the end of the game and we're able to run the ball because they just have no legs left. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been body blows after body blows. And when you have some of those deep shots that we had, the one to Christian Kirk, the one to Isabella, you know, to take a shot like that and then literally get right back on the ball and do another play, it's hard for the defense. So we got to continue to press the tempo. And, again, I think there's still room for improvement in that particular facet of our game to pick up the tempo even more and stay on schedule. So, again, it's fascinating to be a part of. You know, I've played in offenses where it's kind of up-tempo. But this is like warp speed. So, man, for me, it's like making sure that I'm hydrated as best I can before the game and making sure that the body is in tip-top shape to go out and perform on Sunday.
Kelvin, I don't know if you know this, but Wolf's old. Do you want to be a talk show host?
No, I'm good, man.
Okay. Yeah.
I love my day job.
All right.
Hey, Kelvin,
I got you.
You're fantastic.
Great talk.
Man.
Great conversation.
Thank you so much, buddy.
Anytime.
Thank you. Congrats on the season. There's Kelvin Beachum. Man, I butchered it three times trying to say right tackle, and I can't even say his name right. Kelvin Beachum joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Your family owns and operated dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Coming up next, how did we get here? How did the Arizona Cardinals get to 2-0? That's your question. What do you love? Coming up on your listeners only meeting on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The listeners only meeting on the Doug and Wolf Show.
Where you get to call in, you get to discuss issues, game plan, problems, whatever's on your mind. 602-260-9870 is the phone number for you to be part of the listeners only meeting. But we always ask you a question. And today's question is really simple to the point. You know they're 2-0. The question is why? Why are they 2-0? What is the one thing that you think nobody is realizing? This is why they're 2-0. 602-260-9870. And you know this guy's from Texas when his name is Stetson. Stetson, it is an honor for the Doug and Wolf Show to have you be caller number one. Stetson, why are the Arizona Cardinals 2-0?
Well, I got to tell you, I cannot say how many times I have cussed Steve Keim, but he has nailed it with Cliff and Kyler and Coots and the D-Hop trade, getting DJ out, getting D-Hop in, Devondre. The list goes on. And I got to say, it's Steve Keim's foresight on this. This is why we won yesterday. I mean, this is why we're going to have a winning season.
Thank you, Stetson.
Yeah. Where does Stetson live, by the way?
It just said Texas.
It's a Texas right there. All right, that's very cool. Steve Keim, there's no doubt about it. He has done his job.
Mm-hmm.
He built this roster. He put it together. He built this depth chart. That's what a general manager does. Now it's up to the players and coaches.
And let me go a little higher than that, because there has been enough issues in the last couple of years that a lot of owners would have said, Steve Keim, that's enough. It's time to go with somebody else. So I totally agree with you. You know, put the heat on Steve Keim for the last couple of years, but give him just as much credit for so far for 2020, but also give some credit to Michael Bidwell for believing that I should stick with this guy.
This is how owners get credit.
Yeah.
You hire good people, and then you let them do their jobs.
Chuck's in Phoenix. Chuck, you're next. You're on with Doug and Wolf. Why are the Cardinals 2-0?
I believe it's because the offense and defense and the special teams are doing what Wolf says they should do, their jobs. And they're going to continue to get better. The one concern I have, though, gentlemen, and I'll let you talk about it, is the amount of penalties we're getting. We're getting up there, the penalties, and it's got to be cleaned up, or it'll cost us. And I'll let go. I'll hang up and let you guys talk about that a little
bit. You're right about that, man. There's no doubt about it. Way too many penalties. I think that's the one negative of the first two games. And the one common denominator, I think, other than victory, of course, is the fact that they have had way too many penalties in both games.
I totally agree. And yet I'm not concerned yet because of OTA's minicamp preseason. When you've got none of it, it doesn't grab me that much yet. Now, you're not going to be beating the better teams in the league with this many penalties, so you do have to clean it up. Jason in Queen Creek, good morning, Jason. Why are the Cardinals 2-0?
Good morning, guys. I think Kyler Murray's looks phenomenal. I kind of agree with what the last guy said about cleaning up the penalties a little bit. I'd love to see some more stuff out of Patrick Peterson, but it's exciting.
Mm. Thank you, Jason.
Kyler Murray. Just his attitude as well. This expectation of greatness. This expectation of going out and playing well and winning a game. I think it's starting to permeate their locker room, and that's the best trend going.
Daniel in Phoenix, good morning. You're on with Doug and Wolf. Why are the Cardinals 2-0?
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for taking my call this morning.
Absolutely.
I think we're 2-0 mainly because the offensive and defensive lines are just doing what they're supposed to. I've been the biggest critic of Steve Keim for the last two or three years. I would like to say that I apologize, Steve Keim. I think you got it. But I think, again, when we came in from the beginning of the second half, I think Kingsbury has a little tendency to get a little too cute sometimes. And we just need to run the ball forward. But that's on me. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too, Daniel.
Absolutely, yeah. Maybe a little bit too creative. Dave Pasch, of course, El Bajado, ladies and gentlemen, the voice of the Arizona Cardinals, was talking about this thing. He says it all the time. Maybe Cliff has just been sitting around drawing up plays, and it's driving him crazy. He just wants to use these plays rather than just line up and run inside zone.
I so agree with that. Now, granted, the alternative is Mike McCoy, so I'll take what we've got. Let's go to Rich in Queen Creek.
Off of Mike.
Rich, good morning. You're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Why are the Cardinals 2-0?
Morning, guys. Hey, so I think we're 2-0. A lot of it has to do with Cliff Kingsbury, and I was a big supporter when we hired him.
Yep.
I just think Coach Bro is doubled down on Vance Joseph, and to get cute in the second half, I like it because we're up 20-0, and we need to run those plays. Running the ball, we should be able to do that, but getting those cute plays out of the way in the second half, up so big, I think, hey, if we execute it, we're not talking about it right now. And I think the penalties, that's just because we've had no preseason. This is the first two games of live action, and I'm excited. Let's go, guys.
Let's go, Big Red. I'm with you.
There's a listeners-only meeting. We do it at 7:15 every Monday following Cardinals football. Join us every single time to get off of your chest what you've got. Up next, home against Detroit, and Dave and Wolf and Paul will have the play-by-play for you right in the middle of the afternoon. It's officially a 1:25 kick. Coming up next, from our vantage point, me on a recliner and Wolf in the press box, what did we see? It's time for everybody to give a game ball. Tweet us your game ball at Doug and Wolf 98.7. We'll give you ours next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Well, man, that's the way to fight. That's the way you prepare during the week, and that's the way you play at the end of the week. Great job.
We got to get a game ball.
We're giving out game balls on the Doug and Wolf Show.
Game ball, game ball.
First ball.
We got Wolf and I and Baron Maloney all in the Auction Community Studios today. Paul is on the east side. All five of us watched the game. All five of us found somebody that was more impressive to us than anybody else. We give you our game balls. You respond at Doug and Wolf 98.7 with your game ball. Here's the catch, though. Only JV knows who goes first. We have no idea.
I'm sure the way you played today made him proud.
Oh, yeah.
Calvisi, you start.
Darn tune when you're playing the tool. I'll bat lead off every time, just like Leland High School. Here we go. I hope Bill O'Brien got his game ball from last week. You know, we try to save some money. Went with the ground transport. No overnight crap around here. We're on a budget. So I'm going to go with a guy who had two catches on two targets. And two spectacular catches based on what we saw. Catch is not just a catch. When Andy Isabella gets behind the secondary and takes the top off, everybody now, he stretches the defense 54 yards on that one from Kyler Murray. Man, did he prove he can be that deep threat. Boy, did he put that on film for future defenses and defensive coordinators to consider. But you know what? That comes in second on the Andy Isabella power pole based on the slant that was behind him, an absolute rope of a laser of a bullet pass that he opened up the hip. It was behind him, caught it with, wait for it, his hands, snagged that, snatched it in, a very sure catch for that. Andy Isabella on those two catches gets another game ball, our game ball.
Get on the stretch. When we need a play, you guys make plays. We got to get a game ball.
Bears game ball.
Okay, I'm going to go with one of the newcomers. Devondre Campbell had a great game yesterday. 10 total tackles, 8 solo tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 2 passes defensed. Guys, I think they can cover tight ends now. That's fun. And I think Devondre Campbell's a huge part of that. And he was all over the field yesterday. If you watch the game, he was all over the field. And I'm very happy with that signing from Steve Keim. So Devondre Campbell gets my game ball in week 2.
This is not stop here. This is where it begins. We got to get a game ball.
Doug's game ball.
No one will believe me, but it says right here Devondre Campbell on my sheet. So I will go in a different direction because of Bear, because I don't want to just rip off Bear. I totally agree with you on Devondre Campbell. But how huge is it when you give up the football inside the red zone on an interception and inside the opponent's red zone, and now they've got an opportunity to score? That sack by Jordan Phillips was absolutely enormous. It's one play, but that was such a big deal. I'm going to give my game ball to Jordan Phillips, but I'm secretly giving it to Devondre Campbell.
Cards on 3, 1, 2, 3, cards!
Maloney's game ball.
So, other than Justin Herbert, because he does deserve a game ball, am I right? I'm going to go with a different quarterback, Kyler Murray. He's so fun to watch, is he not?
No doubt about it. Honestly, Kyler Murray made an awful lot of plays, and he's doing it in ways that, I promise you, they're terrifying to a defensive coordinator.
And to a defense.
And to a defense, and that is the best thing going forward right now after two games.
353 all-purpose yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yep.
So swaggy.
Swaggy indeed.
Great job. Some guys step up. Some guys were down. Proud of you, man.
Wolf's game ball.
You know what, Basinonians, honestly, I'm with Doug Lease on this. It is Devondre Campbell. I am with Bear on this. It is Devondre Campbell. I'm not going to give it to anybody else. It was Devondre Campbell, Basinonians. He might have been the best player on the field yesterday. Bear already went down the stats, 10 tackles, 2 for loss, 2 passes defended. The problem is this, though. When you take Devondre Campbell and you put him on a back coming out of the backfield or a tight end coming out of the backfield, you can actually put him on a wide receiver in the slot. Great coverage downfield from Devondre Campbell. It wasn't the tackles. It wasn't the passes defended. It wasn't the tackles for loss. It was great coverage down the field on multiple receivers and multiple down and distances. This guy's got frame, he's long and lean, he's physical, he's a good tackler in the open field, He's athletic and he's smart. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Devondre Campbell gets the game ball.
Bear, hit the close. What? How do we not have a close? By the way, another note here. Aaron Wilson is the fantastic beat reporter of the Houston Texans. He was in Baltimore forever, has a ton of sources. Tell me if he is throwing – remember, he's the Texans beat reporter.
Okay.
So see if he's throwing out – is this just casual information or is this opinionated casual information?
Well, I think we all know it's opinionated.
This is Aaron Wilson's recent tweet. Former Texans All-Pro wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay, it's opinionated.
Set the NFL record for the most catches in a player's first two games with a new team. 22 receptions in two games in Arizona. Through his two games, Hopkins has 22 for 219, one touchdown on 25 targets.
Can you imagine the brutality of that right now? Think about it. In his very first game, he sets a career mark. DeAndre Hopkins has had a lot of great games, and he set a career mark for receptions in his first game as an Arizona Cardinal. And now he breaks the NFL record.
for most receptions for a new player on a team in two games.
Unbelievable.
What did David Johnson do yesterday? That is an honest question. I have no idea because we know he had a nice opener against the Chiefs. What did David Johnson do yesterday?
You know, I got to tell you, I was actually surprised. There were a couple runs where he ran right into the pile and absolutely moved the pile. He converted on a third and five one time. He does look like he's running harder, but he also had a bad drop in this game that cost him on a different third down. His overall numbers bad, 11 carries for only 34 yards and no touchdowns, and he had two receptions for 16. But when he did get the ball, I felt like he was running harder. So he's looking better, but the productivity isn't there right now.
This is a lesson learned, obviously, by the GM, Bill O'Brien. Much easier to find a running back who's productive than a legit all-pro number one receiver that changes all the looks you're going to get from a defense on a consistent basis.
You know, speaking of receivers, I have to tell you, Paulie, I love your game ball to Andy Isabella. I mean, if you could ever give a game ball to a receiver that has two receptions for 67 yards, it is Andy Isabella. Because of those two plays and what it says about this kid.
I think to Paul's point, Paul, I don't know if you could see it. I could see it on television. The reaction of Larry Fitzgerald to Isabella catching that ball, to me, was 60%. Wow, I didn't know you could do that.
Which one, the deep one or the slant?
The slant that was behind it. Because Fitz had a big reaction. It was like, wow, I didn't know you could do that. But it also shows that the kid must be working hard because Fitz is a good guy no matter what. But Fitz was genuinely excited for the young man that to me tells me, I've seen you work hard. You deserve that catch. So you're right the way you described that play, Paul. But I noticed Fitz even more than Isabella on that one.
A couple of weeks ago on the Big Red Rage, Christian Kirk just talked about how popular Andy Isabella is, how much the guys like him. So you're right. I'm sure that reaction was genuine. On his first catch, he had to slow down. Or
yeah,
else
he did.
He gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been an 88-yarder just like against the Niners a year ago, except totally different. He would have been untouched if that ball hadn't been a few yards behind. He had to wait up a little bit for that. Otherwise, man, he beat that secondary by a good 10 yards almost.
And once again, that's the thing that will terrify a defensive coordinator, to be able to see that. Even if he didn't get the ball thrown on that, the fact that you saw him, you threw it, and he caught it, that is fantastic. Mm. But the run by? Oh, yeah.
So think about it. Isabella's on the field, and you know what he can do in terms of taking the top off and stretching the defense from goal line to goal line. Then you have a DeAndre Hopkins working underneath or down the field with a Larry, and then a Christian Kirk, and we saw what he did on his big chunk throw. And then you throw in a running quarterback who runs the 4-3. Think of what that does to a defensive coordinator and how it gives him pause as he's drawing up his plan.
Coming up next, now here's something. There's a lot of positives in being 2-0. Lot of positives in the win yesterday. Two major negatives. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Wolf's at the game. I stay at home watching as many games as I possibly can. And a free shout-out this morning to our own second assistant producer. There's Maloney, who's the executive producer of the Doug and Wolf Show. There's Bear, who's the assistant producer. And our second assistant producer is a gentleman by the name of Jay Feely. And CBS showed a bit in the Steelers game of Jay Feely during an injury going from one, remember, he's in the front row, like all sideline reporters,
yeah,
going from one end of, I almost said Three Rivers, one end of Heinz Field to the other, running all the way up and down stadium steps, dropping his phone, turning around, picking it up, checking the phone, making sure everything's okay, and then running all the way back. And they highlighted it coming out of a commercial with it in fast forward. It was hysterical.
And he was trying to get his breath as well as, yeah, he was checking.
He was panting when they went to him. They did. But, oh, my gosh, it was impressive. It was impressive effort right there.
Jay, do a little cardio.
Give us 40 minutes. We'll give you Herm Edwards, head coach of Arizona State, to talk both ASU and Cardinals and NFL in general out of everything that happened. You might have heard this a little earlier. Paul played it in the Paulie Pigskin Report, but it does get you fired up thanks to azcardinals.com.
Hey, congrats on the win, fellas. Two things I felt today. I felt going in, we were super confident. Y'all felt that, right? There was no way we weren't winning that game. I also felt leaving that field, we're not satisfied. We can play so much better. Everybody understand that? So much better. Just little things here and there. But that's a hell of a job finding ways to win. All right? Hell of a job. Let's keep grinding. I got two game balls. First one, all right, want to give to Larry Wilson's family. We lost one of the all-time great Cardinals. So we'll hand this to him. Great job getting the win for him. Family. And the second one, for his birthday, defense, y'all gave him a hell of a birthday present.
Yeah, BJ.
Hell of a coach, even better man, BJ. Here he is.
We know what it takes each and every week to come out and get dubs. Let's continue to do that, man. Cards on three. One, two, three. Cards.
Vance Joseph getting the game ball right there. Well done, Vance. No doubt about it. Listen, the crowd not being there, I thought, really impacted the defense specifically. I thought, especially in that second half, it really impacted the defense, and it makes a lot of sense. The defense, of course, they seem to fall asleep, I would say, in that third quarter. But having a lead, being up by three possessions, and suddenly the other team gets a little momentum going, and that's when the Red Sea, I think, that's when having a crowd, a home crowd behind you, I think, really can impact an offense and a defense specifically. And at the same time, I despise myself for even saying that, based on earnings, because it doesn't matter. Home or away, it doesn't matter. You should never play for the crowd. Never play for the crowd, but it's easy to say that for me. Why is it easy to say that for me? The crowd was never looking at me. All right, Douglas? They never looked at me when I ISO'd a Mike linebacker. Nobody was watching me bust up a wedge, ladies and gentlemen, and losing their minds when I busted up a wedge. Nobody was doing any of that. Yeah, if you're a receiver that makes plays and you catch the ball and move the chains and the crowd explodes, or catch a touchdown and the crowd goes berserk. Isn't that right, Larry Fitzgerald?
They did look at you when the head coach of Jackson State went by you not once, not two.
No, stop it. If you're Kyler Murray, of course, yes, you get jacked up. You're a running back who scores touchdowns, or you move the chains and the crowd goes nuts. You're an edge rusher coming around that edge, making a play, strip sack, the ball comes out, the crowd goes nuts. The energy, can you feed off that energy? Yes. And there are guys who definitely feed off that energy. Do I ever come off my point that it shouldn't matter about whether you're playing the game in an alley or 70,000 people in front of? No, it should never matter. Do your job. But man, am I willing to admit that there was an energy drain in that second, and there was an intensity drain in that second half.
You were up
20 on the players.
You're up 20 to nothing against a bad below average, maybe not bad, but below average football team. And I understand there's an energy drain, but I would love to have Fitz stand in front of everybody and just say, guys,
I got your energy.
I'm not here to make a speech, but I've been in this league 16 years. I have no rings. And anytime we let up, we could lose a ring. Anytime we let up could be the game that cost the home field, could be a game, and you'll regret it the rest of your life if you let up and that's the game that costs us something. Let's go.
What I do
don't
love
let up
right
again.
There, yeah, you know what, and I love the fact that coming into this game, I was talking about the the fact the Arizona Cardinals defense, the onus was on the defense to win a game. The onus was on the defense to win a game. Washington cannot win if they can't score points. My entire question was, will they be able to score enough points, knowing how good Arizona's offense is, will they be able to score enough points, or will the defense lock them down? Well, the defense in that first half locked them down. If the defense is just average, and I've been saying this all offseason, and you know it, Doug Lease, if the defense is just average, they're going to win 9 or 10 games because of that offense.
Maybe not if the head coach is doing this.
Going to do it again. Strebler under center on 4th-and-1 at the Cardinal 27. Strebler takes the snap. He's running to the right. It's a pitch on a reverse to Kirk at the 25, and he gets the first down to the 31-yard line.
Cliff Kingsbury, look, there will never be a day that I am smarter than you.
Yes.
And I don't even talk of football
just
IQ.
Admit it, Doug.
I mean, general IQ, Cliff Kingsbury, you're smarter than me. You always will be, other than your choice in Texas Tech. I applied to Texas Tech. They sent me back a degree. They said, thanks, you've done enough in high school.
That was a rip.
But that has to end. That decision was terrible coaching, and it doesn't matter that you made it. You're inside your own 30 against a team that can't score against your defense. You got to trust your defense. You can't say we're going to go for the jugular. You have a better chance of scoring when Dwayne Haskins has the ball. Just give it to him. Your defense has a shutout. The only thing that can happen is you get a first down. There's two things. You can get a first down and you still have 70 yards to go, or you give momentum to a bad team that had none. The risk to reward is 90-10 risk. It's a bad decision, and you are a brilliant guy. And I don't care what analytics says, this makes sense. I don't care how much you believe in that play. In a shutout, believe in your defense. Make a second-year quarterback on about his fifth start of his life march the team down the field. You can't go for it right there.
You know what, Cliff, honestly, right now, you are so analytically superior to anything I offer, but I endorse Doug's message.
Cliff, that had to kill you.
Cliff, but you're killing me. You're killing me on that, on the fourth down situation right there. You had to punt 4 plays later. Was it really worth going for it in that situation right there, knowing that if, in fact, it blew up, maybe there's a mental error, whatever it may be, and I know you've got to trust your guys at some point in time, but you don't convert right there, and now momentum changes. You go from a 3-possession game to a 2-possession game.
It's not even next. That good of a decision at their 40-yard line.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, pin them deep, but, inside your 30. Please.
And he's not going to stop doing it.
And you know it's going to happen again.
He's not going to stop doing it.
Because he clearly didn't learn from the Saints game. He clearly looked at last year's Saints game and says, I don't care.
Listen,
the play should have worked, and
Cliff,
that's why I'm calling it.
That's exactly right. Cliff don't care. At least he's convicted, based on earnings. He's not going to stop doing it, Ron Wolfley reported.
Yeah.
And as long as they're winning games, why should he?
I can't wait to ask Herm Edwards that. Is he going to yell at us and say, you play to win the game? It worked!
Hello, you play to win the game.
What are you going
to
say? Inside your own 30? Yeah, yeah, okay.
I got swag like Cliff. I don't care.
I'm sure there's
there's
a punter somewhere that has it. Come on.
I got swag like Cliff. We're on our 27. Get out of my way, you dirtbags.
A punter's
We're
got
swag.
We're
going for it right now.
One of your punts, you got the ball back.
I'm up there, honestly. I realize based on earnings, I'm old, but I'm telling you right now, I'll take the old analytics any day over the new analytics if that's what you're doing. I don't have swag like Cliff. I realize that, and I admit it freely. I have no swag.
Old analytics says, when you've got a shutout for 36 minutes, trust it.
Cliff's got swag. I got Jack, ladies and gentlemen.
Again, Herm Edwards, 8:30. Up next, your Rush Hour reboot. How did the Cardinals get to 2-0? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.